I'm listening. And today I was thinking we're going to talk about, we're talking in this period of time about the practices that form us. The practices that form us. And Phil kind of gave that idea last week of saying it's not the beliefs. I mean, the reality is it comes from beliefs. But unless our beliefs start to form into practices and into actions, they actually don't bear fruit. That actually becomes us changed lives. And I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be a whole lot of theory going on about what God is. I don't see that makes a difference in many people's lives. But boy, the actions of living like Christ, they do make a difference in our lives and in those people's lives around us. They really do. The idea of Matthew 7, which says in Matthew 7 that, you know, it talks about the idea if you build your house on a sand, it means you've got a whole lot of theories. And one day the winds come and the storms arrive and the rain pelts down on us and it says and you just get washed away. But when you build your house on rock, and the rock is not what you know, it's what you do. When we live like Christ and we act like Christ and we build our life on that kind of rock, then when the winds come and the storms arrive and it looks like you're going to get washed away, you don't move. I want to build those kind of practices into my life, don't you? Because the storms come. In fact, Jesus promised it. In this year, in this world, you will have trouble. Be prepared, is essentially what he's saying. You know, we talk about what are the practices that are formational in this congregation. And last week, Phil talked about that practice of water baptism. Next week, John's going to talk about communion. And today, I'm here to talk about foot washing. Good old foot washing. Who's been doing a little bit of foot washing lately for each other? Anyone in the room has been? Just this morning, did you get up and say, I'm just going to foot wash the family? That would have been a lovely thought, wouldn't it? I've never seen much foot washing in the church. You know, really, I think people get very uncomfortable about foot washing. I do. Like, it kind of feels like a little bit weird, doesn't it? Like, when I go and have you go and have your manicure or whatever, and you think, probably manicure, I don't dive into that, but pedicure, and you have to put your feet in, and you kind of, it's all a little bit weird. Someone's there rubbing your feet. And in fact, when you go to Asia, you know, you put your foot in, this fish come and nibble at your feet. You know, that one, that's a bit unusual, isn't it? But this concept of foot washing is something that, I think one thing, it's quite ticklish. I find that very ticklish. But the other thing is, it feels wrong, don't you think? Like, it feels wrong. In this egalitarian world, to have someone kneeling down and washing my feet feels wrong. I want to say, look, can you come up and sit next to me? I feel a lot more comfortable if I can kind of throw my foot up on your lap, you know? Because this idea of you down there and me here, I don't know, it just feels really uncomfortable. Feels like a bit of a false humility. Like, we're all acting a bit humble, but really we're like all pretending. And you know what? People sometimes do. I think our response is we want to lift other people up. I would rather say, come up here with me, than say, let me come down there with you. It's a bit of our human response to say that I want to give everyone worthiness and value, and somehow that can't come if you're kneeling at my feet. And then we come to Jesus, and he just throws all of that into a really big problem. Because in the upper room, it's the Last Supper, and usually at the end of that, you know, after they've been out walking, and you're walking in sandals, and there's dusty roads. So when you come to a place, you know, there's usually the servants, and they wait, and they welcome you, and they wash your feet, get you a little bit prepped up before you can get into the formal place. And then here we are, Last Supper. Jesus is preparing to die, and he thinks, I think I'll do a little bit of foot washing. I just can't conceive that that's even what crossed his mind. But it was. And he prepared to wash the disciples' feet and take on that role of a servant. And it says this, John 13, 1-9. It was just before the Passover festival, and Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world, for him to die on the cross and go to the Father. And having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. I love that. He loved them to the end. And the evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. And Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God, was returning to God. So he got up from the meal. Jesus gets up. He takes off his outer clothing, his cloak. He wraps a towel around his waist. And after that, he poured water into a basin and he began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around them. And he came to Simon Peter and he says to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" I would have said that. And Jesus replies, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." And Peter says, "No, you're never going to wash my feet. No." And Jesus says, "Unless I wash your feet, you have no part in me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter says, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." And Jesus tells that story is told, and then there's an expectation, which is not just implied but spoken, that we would do this. When it says, "And when he had washed their feet, he put on his clothes and he returned to the place. And he says, 'Do you understand what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, because that is what I am. But now that I, your Lord and your teacher, have washed your feet, you should also do as I've done for you. You should also wash one another's feet. I've set an example for you to follow. And very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. And now that you know these things, you will be blessed." What? "If you do them." There we go. Does much more need to be said? Foot washing needs to abound. Just before Jesus goes to die. Pretty fabulous, isn't it? It's fabulous. It's just, it's actually, we all get that. That when you serve and you give and you're generous, that there's this enormous sense of what it gives back to you. I reckon this is this human experience of serving, which is wonderful in itself. Yet I want to say, I think what Jesus was trying to tell us was beyond this. It was beyond a human idea of doing good. I think what Jesus was trying to tell us was that when you actually bend your knee when you serve, it's this humility that you bring with it. It's not just, "Let's do good." It's like, "Let's do good because we're just going to, I'm prepared to make myself a servant and a slave to Christ." I reckon Jesus was saying in that moment, you actually get to experience connection to God. This is not just a human experience. This is beyond a human experience. I wonder when Jesus said those words, when he said, "Unless I wash you, you have no part in me." To me, I reckon Jesus was actually saying, you get to experience me when I wash your feet, and when we bow and wash other people's feet, they got to experience Christ through us. This is beyond a human expression of doing good. I was very lucky. I grew up in a home where my dad, who was this a powerful, big character, a big personality, who would dominate so many situations as a businessman, came home and washed feet. He literally would, we'd be in the lounge room and we would sit down on the couch and he would come and sit down next to us or lie down on the floor and he would rub my feet. Go and get some oil sometimes and rub my feet. My sister liked tickling feet, so he tickled her feet. It's not just the act, it's the humility that you're getting seen before you. There's one thing to speak here, and you can say, "Oh, that's serving," but you know what? If I don't couple this with kneeling, it's not actually washing feet. Washing feet is something we do that no one else sees. It's when we actually say to someone, you're actually more valuable than me. You're actually just as valuable as me. So if we are a CEO, if we are a senior leader and we actually don't do the things that are really at the grass level, then I don't think these people get to see what Jesus is really like. Because he taught in the temple and he washed feet. He raised people from the dead and he got down on the ground and he rubbed mud in his hands and he put up people's eyes. That's what I reckon foot washing looks like. I was even more challenged when I was reading it because I was thinking to myself, do you see what he said when he said the evening meal was in progress and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus? Jesus washed Judas's feet. The man that he knew was going to betray him had already betrayed him. And I was thinking to myself, so Jesus is saying to me and you, wash the feet of the people who, even those who betray you, even those you would think of as enemies. I'm thinking, that just seems crazy. That just doesn't, that's beyond human, Lord. And you're saying to me, I can do this. Not only can I do this, you're asking me to do it because you're saying, show them what I really look like. I have something to do with prison fellowship up in Cambodia. And when I'm up there and they're looking for people to, we're helping to support them, and I was at a meeting and they were saying, oh, golly, you know, it's really a struggle to get people to help prisoners because everyone can kind of see the needs of the developing world when it's, you know, it's children who need to go to school, maybe, and it's the elderly who need a roof over their head. But, oh, no, I'm not going to give it to those prisoners. And I said to them, oh, well, you should go to the churches. Because we understand extravagant grace. And they kind of went, oh, no, the churches don't really want to do it either. It's like, that's where we should be found, washing the feet of a person who thinks they don't deserve it, can't possibly conceive how a church person would think they deserve it. That's what foot washing looks like. You know, I love that video we just saw. There's a video that, I don't know why this video always moves me. And that story of the Good Samaritan always moves me. I think that story, and I'm going to show you this little clip of it. Once again, it's black and white, and once again, it's silent. There's just something about it that tells me Jesus didn't tell this story by chance. So let's just watch that. Isn't it? Just, you know, I reckon Good Samaritan was just a beautiful foot washer, wasn't he? I think that when you kneel down, you discover that that's where God is most often found. With the needy, with the poor in spirit, with the broken, maybe the unsure, the uncertain. And we bend our knee, we can counter him right there. Now, I was thinking of that story, and I know we often talk about the two people who walked by first when that man was lying there with the religious leaders of the day. And it just, and they kept walking. And what, there's a man there? Like, no, they would not do that, God. Jesus says, yeah, oh, yeah, that's what happens. And there's one thing to say that people were fearful, but I think the act of bending down and tending that man's wounds were probably the most threatening thing that those religious leaders discovered at all, at the most. You know, that's what they found the most difficult, that they have to bend down and they have to sit in the dirt and wash a man, put him on his bare back and carry him. Oh, golly. That's what we're supposed to do. Even as we give to the community purse, may we never think that giving money is an exchange at all. It's just another expression for us to bow down and go, give you what we've got. My mother-in-law, Linda, who I spoke about earlier, is an amazing woman. You know, she was in a situation of domestic violence, and she left that with four children and moved into a caravan and worked nights to earn enough money to go back to university and become a teacher. Incredible. But some other things she did were even more incredible than that. One thing was that when her ex-husband, who had been, you know, abusive, had married, and when he was living down in Mandurah, and when his wife was dying in Charles Gardner, off her and I go to the hospital. She says, she can't be alone. We need to go and sit with her. And we did. And we visited her and we cared for her and we nursed and talked to her until she passed away. And then when her husband, ex-husband down there was alone, down in Mandurah, off we go back down there again to help him pack up his house, help him move to Perth, help him find a place to live, introduce him to his grandchildren, make sure that they all got to know him. I think she understands what it is to be a foot washer. It's what we're all called to be. Foot washing at West City is just not about going on a march. It's not about doing the right things. It's not about saying the right things and being so accepting in our outward appearances. It's about carrying hearts that say we really will bend our knee. We really will humble ourselves. We really will say to people, you're completely worthy. You're just like us. And whatever we've got, let us share it with you. You know, in our culture, servanthood and humility, they're often seen as a come down. They're a negative and addressing of our superiority. But that's not the way it is in Scripture. Do you think Jesus needed a dressing down? It's the opportunity to let go of the trappings of our humanity, our wealth, our status, our image. It's the opportunity to think of ourselves as slaves to Christ, knowing that we can stay on our bended knee and still be worth so very much. Maybe Philippians 2:1-4 says it the best when Paul says, if you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ, if his love has made any difference in your life, if being in a community of the Spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart, if you care, then do me a favour. Agree with each other, love each other, be deep-spirited friends. Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet-talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourself long enough to lend a helping hand. You know what? That sounds a lot like foot washing to me. May we do it willingly, humbly, regularly. May we experience the warmth of God's presence and in return feel inspired and encouraged to whisper these words again and again. Here I am, Lord. Send me. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Thank you, God, for your remarkable presence. It's not something we chase after. It's something we sit and we wait. And we experience because you are the real living God who's come to us. And I thank you, Lord, that every time we bend our knee and we wash another one's feet, we encounter you. Because that's exactly where you're found. Most powerfully. And you help us, Lord. Can I ask you to help us as a community to live like that? To live like that every day with our families, with our communities, with our workplaces, with the people who come to this congregation, that others may know that's the kind of God you are. And we're enormously grateful for the way you've loved us and the way we can love others. In your wonderful name, we now want to take the communion that just reminds us of how humble we really are with you. Amen.
Thanks, Kel, for a powerful reminder to and challenge to be like Jesus, to encounter Jesus. And I guess when we come to the table right now, we're seeing that ultimate act of foot washing, where Jesus didn't hold back and he gave everything so we could be free from sin, so that we could be liberated, so a new creation could begin. And so I think today what I'd like to do is, as we come to the one who kneels and washes our feet, and let him fill you with his strength. And then as we go out this week, let's say, how can we use that strength to serve others? How can we use that strength that we've received and seen in Jesus to serve others?